Appreciate the love of God. Really desire your all's prayers tonight. I'd like to pray just a second. Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for blessing us to be here tonight. And we thank you for your spirit that's here with us. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd have your way in this service tonight, Lord. I pray that you would help me to be submissive into your will, Lord. And I pray that you would help me to allow you to speak your word. I just ask that you'd bless us this night. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been thinking a little bit lately about trust. And I don't know, I was thinking, in some sense, I was looking through the word trust, and I was thinking of things in relation to trust, and I was starting to think, wow, this is quite a bit like faith, you know? And so I started asking myself, well, what is the difference, you know? What is really the difference between trusting God and having faith in God? Many people would say that they're the same thing, just two words that say the same thing. But I really believe that there's a difference between the two. Let's go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Very familiar scripture. We would quote it, but we're just going to go ahead and read it. Make sure it's read correctly, quoted correctly. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In Matthew 18, 3 through 4, it says that we should have faith as little children. And I think about that and I wonder, well, what is it that children have that their faith is unwavering? You know, really, they don't know how not to trust. They don't really know how not to believe. You can tell a child an outlandish story and they'll believe you if they have confidence in you. I mean, they don't really have any reason not to. And, you know, I think about myself and I think, you know, that as an adult and as my experiences have gone through the life, and I've really learned to distrust. I really learned to have unbelief and to not trust people and to not believe what I see or what I hear or what people tell me. And so I felt like the Lord was telling me that, you know, that we really need to learn how to trust again. You know, because when we were children and we were young, you know, you tell them the Bible stories and they just believe it, you know. You tell an adult about Noah's Ark and, you know, if they don't really have faith in God, they'll say, well, that's impossible. How could that even be? You know, how can they get that many animals into one boat? And, you know, just go on and on and on of disbelief and really distrust in the Word of God. So what is the difference between faith and trust? You know, I looked up some things and I feel like the Lord really helped me to see a very significant difference in the two. You know, many people say, I believe in God, but yet their life tells you that they really don't. Right? I mean, they say, yes, I believe in God. The Bible says I just have to believe and I'm saved and that's all there is to it. But yet they do what they want to do. They live life their own way, according to their own imaginations. And yet they say they believe in God. If you really believed in God, you would do what he says. Right? And so I can say, you know, I have faith in God. But if I don't put that faith into action, is faith complete? So really, what trust would be me having faith in God, placing my faith in him through trust. And so I can give it an example. At work, we deal with very heavy, material that we're lifting with the crane and so forth. And a guy might tell me, I have faith that the crane can hold that load. And I would say, well, okay, great. Stand under the load as we lift it. That faith is being taken place in action. If you're not willing to stand under the load, then you really don't have faith that the crane is going to hold it. And so for me to have faith in God, I have to be willing to trust Him in action, to put my life into His hands and let Him do what He will. If I really have faith and really believe, then I should be able to surrender my life to God and allow Him to have His way. We sing the song, "Thy will be done." Jesus did that. He trusted the Lord all the way to the end. And in the end said, "Thy will be done." And so, really, that is our example. Are we willing to do that? Let's look at a few things. I was thinking, like I said, faith without trust is really not complete. And so I was thinking about that with regards to James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" And so I would say, if you have faith without trust, will your faith really save you? If you're not putting your life into the hands of God and acting on what you believe, then is it really doing you any benefit? You can say that you trust God, but until you're willing to put yourself into His hands, it's really not complete. Verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You can say that works being like you're working for your salvation, I've heard some people say, but really it's not about that. It's putting your faith into action. If you believe God, then act like it and live like it. Put your faith into action. And so we're going to read some examples of that. But first, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And this is the beginning. God created man. And He created all living things. We're going to read Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." I look at this scripture or these scriptures and I think that the Lord was really offering a relationship of trust to Adam. Adam had to trust God. He had to trust His word. He had no idea what death even meant, I don't think. And yet, the Lord tells him, "You shall surely die if you eat of this tree." And so He's asking Adam, or it says commanding him. But really, Adam has to trust Him. And say, "Well, the Lord said, and because I believe Him and because I trust Him, I'm not going to eat of that tree. Because He said, I would surely die." In verse 8 and 9, it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." I look at these scriptures and it's like the Lord set aside a special place for Adam. Grew it specially for him. It says it had pleasant trees that were pleasant to the sight and good for food. You think, and God blessed him with a wife. And He gave him a job. And You know, all the things that the Lord did for Adam, was there any reason for Adam to distrust God? Was there any reason for him to distrust his word or disbelieve him? You know, I think sometimes, you know, the Lord blesses us greatly, does many things for us, like we heard the message today, our memories of what God has done. You know, all the things that he's done. And then we're faced with that next thing. And I mean, how quickly do we just right away trust? I know the Lord's going to take care of this too. That's how it should be. Because we have a relationship with trust, we really don't have any reason to doubt God. We don't have any reason to disbelieve him. He's shown himself faithful over and over and over again. But then you see the children of Israel and how God blessed them many, many times, over and over and over again. But what happened? Oftentimes what took place is they forgot. They forgot what the Lord had done for them. They forgot the blessings that they had, and they also forgot the turmoil and the pain that they were once in, that the Lord delivered them from. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's quite a statement that God told Noah. To think that, I mean, just think if the Lord had told you, okay, that's it. The earth is going to be destroyed. I'm taking them all out. That would be almost like, how can you even fathom that? But he tells Noah, I want you to build an ark to the saving of you and your family. It took a lot of trust for Noah to do that. I mean, he invested quite a bit of time in doing it. I think I heard that it was some years, you know, 100 years or something like that, that he was in building. That's a long time to trust the Lord. Do you think he ever had any opportunities to distrust or to wonder or to doubt? Do you think he faced any struggles or trials along the way of people calling him ridiculous, you know? Foolish to go about building an ark when they hadn't even heard of rain. But yet he trusted God. He trusted his word and he put it into action. He built. You know, I think about it and I say, you know, what if Noah, because the Lord gave him specific instructions on how to build the ark. The same way that he gave Moses specific instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And I believe it was David, he gave specific instructions on how to build the temple. And the Lord is very specific in how he wants us to do things. And he's very specific in how he wants us to live. So what if Noah had changed something in the building of this ark and decided he wanted to use a different kind of wood or he wanted to use a different kind of salve to stick it together or whatever? Do you think it would have still been successful? Do you think it still would have worked? I think part of the success of it was God and it's the fact that he blessed it. But Noah trusted God and he trusted him to the very end and he trusted every word that he had said. And he lived it out. We say that we have faith in God. Are we willing to trust him by acting upon what he said and allowing his word to direct us in our lives? Another, Hebrews chapter 11. verses 8 to 12. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. I love the faith of Abraham. That God told him, you know what, I need you to move. I need you to take your family. I need you to go. I'm going to give you a land. And I'm not sure of it, but I believe he told him it was a land of milk and honey, so to speak. Pleasant land. Similar, I guess, to the land of Eden that God gave Adam. But he was going to bless Abraham with a land, and Abraham just went. I mean, it doesn't say that he balked at it. It doesn't say that he wondered about it or anything like that. But again, this chapter is talking about Abraham's faith. But what good would his faith have been if he had stayed where he was living? He believed God. He believed in God. Well, God said, move. And that's when faith goes into action and becomes trust. Where he trusted God and walked in the path that the Lord had given unto him. And he lived out what God had said. And in the process or in the result of that, he was blessed. The Lord gave him a land. The Lord gave him a son in his old age. But it was all through him following the Lord and being obedient unto his word. Exodus chapter 3. We'll read 7 to 12. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will go with thee, or I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Was that a small thing that God told Moses? I think about that, and I mean, that's amazing. One man headed to Egypt to take out, I don't know, millions of people. No wonder Moses was like, who am I that I'm going to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let these people go? But you know, I mean, that's a fantastic thing that God asked of him and told him to do. But it's amazing to me that Moses, he just did it. He went. He acted upon his faith. He walked in trust in God, and he went. And I mean, he experienced many different things that could have made him lose trust or fall from faith, if you will. But he unwaveringly followed God. In extravagant circumstances, the Lord tells him, you know, they're up against the Red Sea, and the Lord tells him, walk across. Put your rod across the sea. And he parts it. You know, he tells him to say things that, I mean, all your firstborn children are going to pass away tonight if you don't let the children of Israel go, you know. Statements like that, I mean, to say that, you got to really believe and trust God. I'm amazed by these men and their faith. And I mean, you can go through the scriptures and it's one after another of people who believed in God, had faith in God, and acted upon the faith that they had by living it out, by action. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, even though they said it was going to be his life to do so. And he prayed anyway. Gideon went against a huge army with just 300 guys because the Lord said the army was too big. We've got to whittle it down. Faith in God that just goes beyond reason, really. But in human reasoning, I should say. Because when you believe in God and the power of God, then what he had asked him to do wasn't really unreasonable. Because he was with them. The power of God was with them. When they went into the land of Canaan and they saw the giants and the walled cities and insurmountable odds against them, they had a hard time trusting. They didn't trust. They said, we can't do it. We can't go in. Because they were looking at their own abilities and their own strengths and forgot that God was with them and was going to go in there with them. You know, when I was young in my faith and just starting out, I just consumed the Word of God. As much as I could read, I read. And I had a lot of time to do it. And I spent that time doing that. And I got engrossed with these people in the Bible. These people who lived their lives in service to the Lord. And was inspired by their faith and by their commitment and their strength in God. And their overwhelming surrender unto the Lord. It was just powerful to me. And I got consumed in it. It was all real to me. It made sense to me. Some people would say it's almost haphazard what they did. And like I said, human wisdom is foolishness. You know, who spends that much time building a boat for something that we've never even seen before? I mean, what are you talking about, a flood? You know, what is that? You know, foolishness. But he was acting upon what God had said. And it was true. And so I read these stories and I read about these people and I believed it. And I wanted to be it. I wanted to trust God like that. I wanted to live for the Lord like that. I wanted to have faith like that. And I knew that the only way for me to do it really was to be dead. You know, my testimony is that by all rights, I lost my life. I really believed that I was going to die. And I prayed that the Lord would save my soul before I died because I didn't want to go to hell. And you know, the Lord saved my soul and he saved my life too. And so I had the opportunity to serve God and not just be saved. But that new lease on life, so to speak. You know, I came out of that segregation unit with a whole new different perspective of life. Because I had lost my life. I mean, I had nothing else to live for, really. I owed my life to God and wanted to give it to Him. I wanted Him to have every piece of my life. He earned it. He deserved it. I had no reason to breathe another breath. But the Lord saved my soul. And He saved my life. He wanted me to serve Him. And I wanted to serve Him. Because before that I had no purpose. I had no hope. I had no direction in life. Didn't know where I was going or what I was going to do. It meant anything. I was there about to die and couldn't imagine a good thing that I could think about my life and what I had accomplished and what I had done. And what would people say of me? Would they say, well, he was a good man. He did good things. No, they would not have said that, and I knew it. And I didn't deserve that, for them to say things like that for me. Because I was not a good man. I hadn't done anything good. I hadn't completed anything in my life. Gave up and quit most of the time. But the Lord saved my soul. And He delivered me. And He gave me all those things that I lacked. He gave me a purpose. He gave me a hope. He gave me a desire to live. He gave me a desire for other people and for their souls and for their well-being and to want to help them and to encourage them and help them to find the salvation that has blessed me so much. But to really do it like these men did it, it was almost haphazard, where I just had to surrender it all to God and, you know what, I don't care. Do what you want to do, but I'm going to serve God. And it came to that many a time. Do what you want to do, but I'm going to serve God. And there was power in that somehow, where I was able to say, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to do it with all I have. And yeah, that goes against what you guys believe. That goes against your ethics and your ideas about things. And I know you're wrong. And I'm going to serve God. And you know, the Lord blessed it. The Lord protected me and kept me safe. I believe that He allowed me to be a light. But it came through trust. I had to trust the Lord. Yeah, I could have died. Yeah, they could have taken my life and so forth. But what is that really compared to eternity and what God has prepared for us? You know, one of the things that I faced a lot in the prison system was, you know, there's other believers, there's other faiths, there are other people that testify to having faith in God and believing God. And sometimes some of them would call us fanatics. Or, you guys just take it too far. You're doing too much. You know, and I hear that sometimes out here, you know, where people think the same things. You know, they think that we're taking it too far. We're doing too much. We're overdoing it. But really, if we're just living God's word and we're doing what He says, is that really too much? Is that going too far? It's like we heard earlier, the song, Closer to Jesus. How close can we get? How close can we get to the Lord? As close as we want to get. If we continue to draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. We can just bask in His glory and grow, mature. And I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface of what God has for us. I really believe that. He has so much for us, so much more than what we've experienced until this day. And Are we fanatics? I was reading the scripture today, and it really didn't go along with my thoughts here this evening. But I was reading it this morning, and I don't know. I thought about it, and I was thinking, you know what? Maybe it does go with it. It's in Galatians chapter 3. Actually, I don't know if it is chapter. I think it's chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 18. He's talking about the Galatians and how they were zealous for this new, these other ministers. They were coming into them and teaching them other things and so forth. And Paul was relating and how they were zealous for him when he was there as well. And verse 18 says, "But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you." And so when I was reading that scripture, I was thinking about zeal, being zealous for God, being passionate for the Lord, being passionate in service to the Lord, and in dedicating our lives to Him. And it's really a confirmation to me in saying that you can't be overly fanatic in serving God when you're doing it the way He said, when you're walking according to His word. You know, they would have said Noah was a fanatic because he was building an ark, talking about how the world was going to end. I'm sure they thought he was weird. Abraham, where are you going, Abraham? Well, I have really no idea, but God said to move. Wow, that guy's a fanatic. He's crazy. He's going, doesn't even know where he's going. Look at this man. He's 100 years old and he thinks he's going to have a baby. Right? Fanatic. But it's really just people trusting God, having faith in God, believing in His power, believing in His ability to do things, and taking it to the highest degree, because God is infinite. There's nothing impossible to Him. You know, really, this whole life that we live is but a blink. And that was one of the things that I had to remember, and I thought about oftentimes. There's a scripture that says, if in this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, and I could testify to that. Because I thought about my life and I said, man, you know, if this was all there was to it, then I am a miserable person. I am a miserable man because I've ruined it. I've messed it all up. If there's any years to be spared after this event, then what would they be in comparison to the sorrows and the griefs that I bore in my life? But this isn't all there is to it, you know. This is just a blink. The Lord has so much greater in store for us. And so why not trust God? Why not give Him all? Were they hurt by it? Were they affected in a negative way because they trusted the Lord? It says that He delivered them out of Egypt. He gave Abraham the land. Gave him a son. Saved Noah and his family. The Lord did what He said He would do. He's going to do that for us too. I really think that we can put our all into God. Each one of us can. Every bit of us. And I believe the Lord can do great things with our lives because of it. I think He can affect our families. I think He can use us to help them to see their need for God. And to want to serve the Lord too. Because of how He's blessed us and kept us. It's good to trust the Lord. It's good to have faith in Him. I pray that the Lord would help me to be zealously affected towards Him, to want to serve Him continually with all my heart, all my soul, all my might, to put everything I have into God. That's why we're here. I pray that for all of us. May the Lord bless us. Thank you for your time.